The talk today is called From an Empty Cup. And there's the notion that my cup runneth over, pressed down and overflowing with all of the good that Spirit has available to me. And sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes I feel depleted. And as we get into the holiday season, this is the giving season. This is the season when there's some expectation that we're going to do more and be more present and buy more presents for the people who we're close to and we care about. And it's a wonderful celebration. We've all had those fabulous holiday seasons where everything fit together and we just felt completely uplifted. And there are also times when it can seem like a lot of work. It can seem like not necessarily a struggle, but just a slog to have the people who we want to be taken care of and all the things that we think that we need to do. And I've got to be baking and I've got to be inviting people over and I have to be festive. And sometimes we're not feeling it. And I'm here to tell you that's okay. You don't have to feel depleted for the holiday season, but if you do, or at any time you're feeling depleted, make sure that you fill your cup. You can't pour from an empty cup. You can't pour from an empty cup, and you can't give to other people if you don't have it yourself. So there are times when if you are under-resourced, you don't have what to give, don't beat yourself up. Instead of beating yourself up, acknowledge what the situation is and allow yourself to be replenished and refilled. Because the fact of the matter is, there's an infinite supply of love and good that's available to each of us. Pressed down and overflowing, there is more good than we can possibly imagine. And it's always available. And sometimes we get to ask for it. When I was seriously into scuba diving, I learned about dive rescue. And the same thing actually applies for any activity. The number one priority in any sort of a rescue scenario is the health and safety of the rescuers. If you think about that for a second, if there's somebody who's splashing around in the water in danger of drowning, the only way to make that situation worse is for five or six other people who don't know how to swim to jump in to try and help. And then you've got a half a dozen people in the water in danger of drowning. And instead of helping, it's multiplying the problem. So the first thing to do is to make sure that after that rescue has occurred, after that activity has transpired, that the people who started out on the shore wanting to help are still okay. And if there's a way to help the person who's splashing around in the water, that makes it even better. Makes it even better. I got a chance to fly on an airplane for the first time in a couple of years. And I'm very familiar with the safety briefing, where they tell you that in the event of cabin depressurization, the masks will fall from the ceiling above you. And there's always the admonishment that if you're traveling with a child or someone else, make sure you put your own mask on first before you put their mask on. And the reason that they always included that in every briefing is because there is the natural tendency if I'm traveling with my kid and the plane depressurizes, I want to make sure that my kid is safe. I want to make sure that my kid is taken care of. And that's really important. And what happens in a depressurization situation is that there's not enough oxygen. That's why the masks come down. So the worst thing that can possibly happen is for mom to be fidgeting around with the four-year-old's mask and pass out. Because then the four-year-old doesn't get helped and mom doesn't get helped and there's nobody there to help mom. So the reason to do that, it's to fill our own cup first. And that's to give us the resource that we are so that we're then able to share and help somebody else. To help other people, you have to make sure that you're okay first. Anybody, when you were a kid, learn how to, if somebody like falls through the ice, how do you take care of them? What you don't want to do is walk out to the edge of the hole in the ice and stand there and try and pull them out, because the hole will get bigger. And then suddenly there's two people that are in the water. So there's actually a technique for how we can help somebody who has fallen through the ice to get back onto dry land. And there's a technique to it. And the technique involves the people who are doing the rescue understanding the technique and doing what's necessary to keep themselves safe as well. Because prior to the rescue, the person who's standing on the shore did not need to be dragged out of the lake. And this applies to every area of our life. In order for me to love somebody, I need to feel the love inside myself first. If I'm trying to love somebody else and that's the only way that I can get love into my life, there's a term for that. It's called codependence. If I need somebody else to tell me that I'm lovable because I don't believe it otherwise myself, then who's doing the rescue? Who's doing the rescue? So I loved the rapid pace affirmations that Emily had in the song. I am loved. That's one of the rapid pace affirmations. I am loved. I am worthy. I'm prosperous. I'm beautiful. I'm loved. It's true. You are loved. You are lovable. You are loving. You are loved. Remember that. The way that the rapid pace affirmation card, the RPA card that Emily was inspired by, is to deal with that committee that sometimes meets in our heads that tells us what the problems are. That goes over and over and over the problems, the difficulties, the challenges, that we're not worth it, that we don't know what we're doing, that it's not going to be okay, that everything is forlorn. You've had those committee meetings in your head, right? I'm not the only one. Yeah. And so sometimes they go on and on and on. And the purpose of the RPAs is to give the committee something different to talk about. If they're going to be chatting anyway, they might as well be saying something that we like I'm worthy, I'm lovable, I am prosperous, I am enough. And they're pretty flexible in changing from telling me how worthless I am to telling me that I'm worthy, I'm loved. So it's about getting those voices to repeat something that we want to hear in our heads. That is one of the ways that we can fill our cup, to let that infinite creative power that creates everything create something new for us through that new channel. There are always possibilities that present themselves. I had a chance to visit my brothers yesterday. One lives in Boston, the other one lives outside New York, and we all got together outside New York yesterday. And I was reminded of something that happened when our parents had passed away that in hindsight is really unusual. My parents had in the living room a pair of carved wooden elephants. About this big. I was going to bring them over here, but they're painted black. They had been in the living room for our entire lives. Don't know where they originally came from. And when we were divvying up the stuff that was in the house, we all put stickers on the things we were interested in so we would know who's going to take what. And my younger brother, John, and I both put a sticker on the elephants because we both wanted them. And the easy answer with that is, well, okay, you take one elephant and I'll take the other elephant. And that didn't set well with either of us. So we decided rather than to split up the family, we would have joint custody of the elephants and made the commitment that periodically when we got together, we'd trade the elephants. So the elephants had been at John's house for the longest time. And when we got together up in New Rochelle yesterday, Vanna has brought me one of the elephants. John brought the elephants and we hadn't said anything about it. I thought when I was going up to see him, I wonder if John's going to bring the elephants. And sometimes we mention it to each other, but this has been going back and forth for a decade. And when they're at my house, they're on the altar in our bedroom. And when they're at his house, they're on a table in his living room. And periodically it's time for the elephants to move to the other house. And they just do that. And the reason that I bring that up isn't because we're so cool. It's because when there's an opportunity for a circumstance, a situation to be resolved or something to be addressed, we don't have to do it automatically the way that everybody would assume we would do it. And I was remarking to John that it's pretty unusual to have come up with this novel scenario. And he told me the story of his grandparents, his wife's grandparents, I guess. Her grandfather had a set of six prints of ducks, duck hunting or some such thing. And his instructions in his will was that he wanted the set to be kept together. And or grandmother and grandmother and uncle, whoever it was, the two who were inheriting all of this, looked at the collection of the six of them and looked at each other and said, no, because they each wanted three of them. And they did that. So the collection was kept together in separate locations. And that worked perfectly for them. There are new possibilities. There are different possibilities open to us all the time. And what we get to do is experiment. What works for you? If I am opening to a new possibility, if I feel like I've got room for something new in my life, if I'm filling my cup, I can fill it the same way I always have, or I can open myself up to a different possibility. And it's wonderful when intuition guides us to something new. There's a new idea. There's a different way that I can be engaging with this. There's something new that I can open up to. It's not a choice of A or B. Maybe there's an entire alphabet of different choices that are available to me. So what we can do is let go of our attachment to thinking that we know how we're going to do it, or what we should do, or how other people should be treating us, and invite in that new experience. To open ourselves up to a different possibility, to an inspiration. In our daily meditations, that's what we're doing, is on the inhale, we're opening ourselves up to a new possibility. And on the exhale, we're surrendering, releasing, and letting go of everything we thought we knew. Everything that has worked perfectly well up until now, we're going to let go of. And that gives us the opportunity to be inspired by something new. And those new ideas, sometimes they come along and there's a wonderful new idea. And it sounds like the still small voice of the infinite suggesting something new and wonderful for me. And sometimes it is. And sometimes my ego can do an impression of that still small voice and give me an idea that I want to do something that I think is going to be great, but in fact is not. First of all, it's not being led by spirit. And second of all, it's me trying to work the situation, to try and figure it all out myself, because I'm pretty good at figuring it all out by myself. So what I do in those situations is I resist. I say, this could be a brilliant, an inspiration, a divine idea from spirit. And let me try not doing that. Let me see what it's like if I don't just jump right on board and put that on my to-do list and make that happen. Because it turns out that if it's the infinite, if it's that still small voice, it'll come back. And if it's my ego, it'll get bored because it'll figure it didn't work. And it'll try and convince me to do something else. There's actually a rhyming Russian proverb, "Dai no pravir." And that was actually made famous by Ronald Reagan because it means trust but verify. And he used that in the nuclear non-proliferation talks in the 70s and 80s with Mikhail Gorbachev. Divir yai, no privir yai. So trust that still small voice, but verify that was in fact the still small voice. Is this really my next step? Because there's a balance point. There's a reason that we have that guidance, that intuition to invite, to open, to suggest something for us. And there's also a reason that we have our rational, practical, experiential minds, because we can fit those guidance pieces together and know that this next step is mine to take. This next invitation is the one that I choose to be responding to. I can open myself up to a brand new possibility and allow it to bring good to me and to everyone around me. I can fill my cup, and then I can use what's in my cup to fill others. And what I don't want to do is be convinced by my ego that I should be diving into the ice to save somebody, when in fact, all I'm going to be doing is causing more of a problem and creating a bigger headache for the other rescuers who are going to be coming along behind me. And don't do it in judgment. Don't do it in fear. Do it with curiosity. What's next for me? What's mine? That's the next new possibility here. And of course, the best thing that we can do is practical prayer. The first step in practical prayer has nothing to do with us. It has to do with identifying that infinite creative power, that divine presence, that limitless love, that infinite intelligence that created everything. We identify the infinite, the creator, the source of everything, so much bigger than me here as my local small self. There's nothing in my ego that has anything to do with the first step in a practical prayer. There is one infinite creative power that creates everything. And the second step is the one where we get to start filling our own cup. And it created me too. It created everything. It created everything by sharing itself as all of its creation. Everything is that divine presence taking its own particular form. That includes me. That's the second step. That includes me. And the people who I'm praying for and I'm praying with, the people who I want to support, whose cup I want to fill. I turn my attention to that infinite power and presence that creates everything. And I know that it's created me. And then I can open up the channel to allow it to create some good for me and for my loved ones and the people around me. That's how love flows. That's how we're filled. And it's wonderful. And that infinite creative power that creates everything is perfectly willing and ready to create something new and wonderful for you. So ask, make the request, make the demand. Not just demands being made of you. You know, Black Friday, you have to go out shopping for stuff. Tomorrow is Cyber Monday, which apparently is where you stay home and shop for stuff. And then there's Giving Tuesday because nonprofits, including New Thought Philadelphia, came up with the wonderful idea that that's the day that you should make donations to nonprofit organizations for your tax-deductible contribution. And yes, you're welcome to do that, and we very much appreciate that. That would be wonderful. And make sure you have it to give. Make sure it's not leaving you feeling depleted, that you're not running your cup dry to try and take care of other people. Because that love that is the center and circumference of everything, that's the center and circumference of you, is able to replenish and refill and rejuvenate and inspire you in such a way that it just overflows. And the good and the love and the harmony and the prosperity and whatever the gifts are come pouring out, filling everyone around you. Not by taking something away from you, but by being a channel to let that infinite flow through you. So as you kick off the holiday season, let yourself be that gift. Let your cup be filled. Let the love flow. And know that you are a blessing. And so it is.